At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Raise your right hand to be sworn, sir. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
You may take your seat. Please speak loudly and clearly for the jurors.
You may examine the record.
Yes, sir. Perfect. Thank you. Please say your name and spell your name.
My name is James Geiger, G-E-I-G-E-R.
Sir, where do you live?
I live at 2122 Trestle in Tallahassee.
How long have you lived at that residence?
It's getting pretty close to 50 years now. I think 48 or 49.
All right. I want to take you back to July 18th of 2024. Now I've got a gnat on me. Do you recall something unusual that happened that day? I'm sorry, I said 2024. 2014, sir. You know what case we're here about. Do you remember what happened on that date?
Yes, I do.
All right. Could you please tell our jurors how something unusual first got your attention?
It was a Friday morning, about 10:30. My wife and I were sitting in our living room looking out towards Trescott Drive, out to the street, and as we were sitting there, we were doing something with our iPads, and we heard a noise, a popping loud sound, bang sound, and we immediately got up and walked to the front. We have a big picture window, walked up to see if we could determine what had happened and where it had come from. We weren't sure it was to the right or to the left.
And, all right, let me pause you right there and show you a couple photographs that I have as marked as states 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Do you recognize these photographs,
sir? Yes, I do.
Are these fair and accurate photographs of your residence at that time, as well as the view from the window you've described?
Yes, it's true.
Judge, at this time I'd ask to admit 1 through 3 and publish.
Objection, Your Honor.
If we could publish states 1, please. All right, sir, so if you could just explain, would you give me that pointer, please, what we're looking at in this photo, and I've got pointer here, if that's of any assistance to you, push the middle button, you get a red dot. You don't have to use it. Oh, if you are going to use it, though, use it on the big screen, please, sir. All right, so just describe what we're looking at in this photo, States 1.
This is taken from Trescott Drive. The house on the right is my house, and the house on the left was Danny's house.
Okay, and the bay window that you've described, is that what is that what is pictured in this portion of the photo right here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's correct.
Publish States 2, please. Sir, is this the view from that window?
Yes.
Right.
This is what I saw as I looked out.
Okay, and the driveway that we can see there on the right side of the window, is that Dan Markell's driveway?
Yes, it is.
All right, so you've described that something got your attention. Can we have States 3, please?
Well, as I mentioned, I wasn't sure where the noise had come from, and I looked to the left and to the right, and as I looked to the right, there was a car that was rapidly backing out of the driveway and immediately headed down to in that direction towards Benton Road. It caught my attention because it seemed to be going so fast. And I noticed what it looked like, and that caught my attention, although quite frankly it was out of the corner of my eye. It appeared to be a Prius, a light-colored Prius, maybe silver or white.
Okay. So if something got your attention, what was that?
Well, that was what got my attention, and then...
Was the vehicle itself?
Excuse me?
Was the vehicle itself, or some noise preceded the you see in the vehicle?
Well, initially we had heard this loud noise, which we weren't exactly sure it was. It could have been a gunshot, we weren't sure. And then when I saw the car back out, that prompted me then to walk next door. There had been in the neighborhood a few break-ins, burglaries, and my first thought was that somebody was trying to break into the Markell house. And so I went out the front door and walked across over to Danny's house to see if anything had been damaged, maybe tried to be broken into the garage or something.
Yes, sir. When you looked out, you said you saw the car back out and then exit toward Benton Road. Would that be going this direction, to the right of the photograph, or toward the left of the photograph?
It would be towards the right.
Okay, so out this way. And you said you walked over there just to sort of look around, make sure everything was okay. What did you see?
As I approached his garage, I noticed that the garage door was open. His car was inside, and the motor was running. And so I thought then, well, I guess so much for a burglary. I don't think that's happened if Danny's there. So I turned around and walked back to my house.
Okay. What happened next?
After that, I can't tell you why, but I just stood at my front window and looked out and waited for a few minutes, maybe three or four, up to five. And for some reason, it just didn't quite seem right. Danny hadn't backed out, and I thought by this time he should have backed out of his driveway, and he didn't. And so I said to my wife, I think something just seems wrong. I'm gonna walk back over. And so I did that.
All right, and what did you see when you got over there?
Excuse me?
What did you see when you got over there the second time?
Well, when I went back the second time, I noticed that the garage door was still up, the car was still running, and this time I thought, you know, maybe I better walk on into the garage. He's probably in the driver's seat. He's probably on the cell phone talking, but I just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Yes,
and
sir.
So I walked into the actual driveway then, and I saw that the window, the driver's side window, had been shattered, and I stepped on glass at that same time. As I looked inside, I saw a bloody head, the head was slowly moving back and forth, rolling back and forth, left to right. And I hollered immediately, "Danny, what happened?" And I didn't get any response other than the head rolling, and so I hollered again, Danny, what's happened?" Still nothing. And at that point, I knew that I had to get the emergency medical team there as quickly as I could. I reached into my pocket to pull out my cell phone, which is where I normally keep it, and it wasn't there. And I thought, gee, I've left it back on the couch at the house. And so I quickly dashed back to the house, got the phone, and called 911.
How many minutes do you estimate elapsed between the time you saw the Prius backing out, or really I should say the time you heard the loud bang, to the time that you were able to reach 911?
Less than 10 minutes, more than 5 minutes, somewhere in there, I would say.
I'm going to approach and show you what I've marked as State's Exhibits 4. And then I also have 6 and 7. This is number 4. And I'll draw your attention to some initials on number 4. And then also 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recognize these photos?
Yes, I do.
All right, Judge, at this time I'd ask to move into evidence 6 and 7.
Any objection?
No objection.
States 6 and 7 are admitted.
Publish State 6, please.
You may.
Sir, is this how the vehicle was positioned when you went over there and found Mr. Markell so badly injured?
Yes, that looks correct.
The doors to the vehicle are open in this photograph. Were they open or closed when you went over?
No, they were all closed.
Okay, closed. And the only window that was damaged, was that the driver's side window?
That's the only one I saw. That's if there were some others, I didn't look at any other windows. I just simply saw the driver's side that was completely shattered.
All right, yes, sir. And State's Exhibit 4, is this consistent with the type of vehicle that you observed in the driveway backing out that day?
Yes, it was, although I didn't quite see that angle.
Okay. Judge, at this time I'd ask to introduce States 4.
Objection to States 4.
No objection.
Admitted at this time.
All right, and you described it as a light-colored Prius. You weren't exactly sure of the color, maybe white, maybe silver, right?
Yeah, silver came to mind first, I guess, but certainly a light-colored vehicle.
I'm going to approach and show you States Exhibit 5. Recognize States 5?
Yes.
Is that Mr. Markell?
Yes, it is.
May I introduce States 5, Your
Honor? No objection. States 5 is admitted.
Publishing States 5. What did you know about Mr. Markell?
Well, this occurred in 2014, and Danny and Wendy were newlyweds and had moved in about 5 years earlier than that. They moved next door. We were not particularly close to either one. We would see them occasionally out on the street. The memorable thing, and the other neighbors would tell you, is that when they first moved in, they had a housewarming event, and they invited all the neighbors in, and we attended it. That was our first time to see them and visit them. They seemed like a nice young couple, and but after that, we weren't particularly close.
Did they have a couple little children living there?
Well, when they first moved there, they didn't, but after a year or two, they had a first child, and then later a second child.
All right, and at the time that Mr. Markell was shot, had his wife, Wendy, moved out? Had they separated?
Yeah, we had understood that they were going through a divorce, and Wendy had left, and after that, we rarely saw Danny, and I don't think we ever saw the kids either, but...
Were you familiar with Mr. Markell's profession?
Yes, I knew that he was an attorney. Both of them were, and they were connected with the FSU Law School, I believe, but I didn't know their exact positions there.
Yes, sir. Publish 4 again, please. Are you able to tell the jurors anything about the occupants of this vehicle on that day?
No, I only saw it just briefly, and to notice what kind of car it was, I couldn't tell you who was inside. The windows were dark as far as I could see. I didn't even know if it was 2-door or 4-door. I just didn't see anything like that.
During the time that you were present at the scene of the shooting, did Mr. Markell ever regain consciousness or ever say anything that you heard?
No, I never heard him say anything. The only notion was that his head kept rolling back and forth during the 911 call, which it took forever. to try to get the emergency vehicle there, the emergency medical team. They would occasionally ask if he was still breathing. And I would walk back up into the garage and his head was moving still. And I said, well, his head's moving. So I assume he's still breathing.
Yes, sir. Have you had an opportunity to review that recorded call that you made to 911 that day?
Yes, I have.
All right. And was it a fair and accurate recording of that call?
Yes.
All right. Judge, at this time I'd ask to move into evidence states 88.
An objection.
Objection.
States 88 is admitted.
May I publish?
Go ahead.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
It's right next door at my house, which is 2122 Trescott Drive.
Can you repeat that for verification?
2122 Trescott Drive, repeat.
Okay, and what number are you calling from?
I'm calling from 8502.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
We heard a loud bang and a car pulled away from next door. I came over and looked in, the garage door was up. And I thought the gentleman was backing out. I went back to my house, but he never backed out. And I came back over, and his driver's side window was shattered, and he was shattered, and he can't answer. He's inside. I don't know if somebody tried to shoot him or if he shot himself or what. I don't know.
Was that this location?
Correct. No, next door. I gave you mine. I don't know if it's addressed as next
door. Okay.
He didn't send an ambulance in a hurry. The engine. He's still alive. He's moving.
Okay. What's going on with
this? I don't know. The driver's side window was all bashed in. He's inside, the car is running, and he's got blood all over his head. He's not responding to me. That number, by the way, is 2116.
All right, that's the first few minutes of a 14-minute call. Is that how long it took them to get somebody to you?
Seemed to me a lot longer.
Seemed like 14 hours, didn't it?
Long time.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Cross-examination for Mr. Geiger.
No question, Your Honor.
Mr. Geiger, you may step down, sir. Is he released from his subpoena? Will anyone need to recall him for any purpose?
He's released, Your Honor.
Have a good day, sir. Please call your next witness.
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.